Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. My name is Steve and feeling better, Alex. Good to be back. I missed you last time.
Dude, I know, man. The sickness has been going around.
Yep, and I was in the middle of the going around there. It knocked me down for a few days, and glad we were able to have some other folks sit in last time. That was great.
It was a great episode.
I anticipate we'll have another good episode here today, but yeah, it's good to be back. Are you feeling like, have you been hit with any of the buggy stuff?
Our kids have. I somehow have not. Knock on wood. If you're listening and you have kids, you know the story. It's, you're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
When you have like a little bit bigger family and you're like, okay,
yeah.
How long will it take to circle everybody? And you're hoping it doesn't, but...
Well, you and Tina have three kids, like we have three kids, and it's the... You get through one kid feeling better, and then you're like, okay, we're good. And then the other kid gets sick, and you're like, oh my goodness, here we go. They can never just get sick all at the same time, at least not in our house. I'm holding my breath. I was holding our daughter... the other night she was not feeling well and was just snuggling with her, and she's our snuggler, and she was right up in my face. I'm like looking down at her and just having this moment like, poor kid, you know, I'm just praying for her, and then all of a sudden she sneezes right in my face. So anyways, we're not going to revolve our conversation today around getting sick.
No. And hopefully everybody, you know, if you're listening, you're healthy.
Yes.
Things, it's been a good day, a good week, a good
month
for you. We certainly want that for everybody. But sometimes you do hit a bump in the road. So
we do.
Anyway, it's good to be back. And
it's great to see you, man.
We are going to have a guest today as well.
We have a very special guest today, and she's very special to you.
Absolutely.
In particular.
Yeah.
You want to introduce our guest today?
Well, it is my wife, Tina, and we have been married 34 years. And
I saw you hold up the four, yeah. Tina. That was great.
I was on it. I know.
He was. You guys, okay, I don't know how you're going to take this, but I take this as like, this is really cool because I really look up to you guys. I'm 34. Your marriage is as old as I am. Isn't that wild?
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's... I'm not even sure what to do with that.
I'll just leave that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Tina's here today. We enjoy a lot of things together, and one of them is ministry and being able to help people take steps of faith.
Yeah,
you know, come alongside people when they maybe hit a rough spot, whatever it is that God has for us. So yes, we enjoy that, and it's a little bit, I think, of what we want to talk about today. Just when people, you know, they hit a rough spot or they're struggling in some way, and so Tina, welcome. Glad that you're here. It's been so long since I've seen you.
Yeah. It's fun to be here.
It's been a whole few hours, even that. Tina, how about just for those listening, maybe if you're joining us for the first time and you've never met us before, do you mind just sharing with somebody who's listening today just what your role is here, even at our church, and kind of where you come from?
Yeah. When I was college age, I graduated with a bachelor's in social work. The Lord definitely, while I was in college, called me to ministry. And later, years into that, Steve and I met. Then kind of the practical outworking of what that was going to look like started to appear. So like Steve said, we've been doing ministry together for 34 years.
It's amazing.
Through that process, I knew the Lord was calling me to just a deeper training. And so just completed like a year ago, a master's in counseling through seminary. And so I am the director of care and counseling here at church. And it's just my greatest pleasure and thrill to be able to walk alongside people, whether it's organizing specialized groups like Grief Share, Healing Journeys for people to take advantage of, or to do some one-on-one counseling, and to just come alongside people. And what does it look like to follow Jesus in the midst of my grief or my this struggle with this particular thing?
So
that's what I do.
It's awesome. Yeah. I just think it's so amazing when I think about I've heard it said like the church should be a hospital for the sick. It's I mean, Jesus even says like people that are healthy don't need a physician. I've come to heal those that are sick and bind the brokenhearted, and like our role as people in ministry and as the church should be to be attentive to folks that are hurting.
Absolutely.
I love that our church has such a robust ministry that is there to do just that. Yep. I think that's amazing.
I think one of the misses, I'll say, of churches at times is when we look at those who are hurting or they're dealing with an issue or whatever, and we think, oh, well, I hope someone else takes care of that. Like, kind of like the, I don't know if I want to say outsourcing necessarily, but just feeling like, well, that's not us. That's not our responsibility. We only deal with like we worship on Sunday mornings. That's our deal. But so I'm glad that we have the opportunity to have a little bit broader vision and opportunity for folks in that way.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you, you know, to not think that way, to not so compartmentalize things that it shifts responsibility away from where it really could be and should be.
Yeah, that's a great encouragement. I think part of what we wanted to talk about today, Tina, especially just in given your lane in ministry and your heart and the way God's gifted you, is talking about mental health today. I know before we started, one of the things that you said is just important is like, it's really important to define things like what are, you know, when we say mental health, that can kind of be a, especially in our day and age now, I think on the good side of things, it's talked about a lot more.
More awareness.
I think there's more awareness. With that can come less of a stigma. So people are talking about it. But as we're kind of diving into this topic today, just want to, just from your perspective, what do you feel like, or what do you see is maybe some of the bigger struggles in mental health, as we're kind of diving into this topic today?
Right. I think when, somebody says mental health or mental illness to me, I think of things like anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
It could be bipolar, schizophrenia,
It's a pretty broad term.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty big umbrella, actually, that a lot of things come under.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, as you're saying, Tina, to really identify what specifically is the struggle, rather than this just big, ambiguous term that, quite honestly, at times gets interpreted in lots of different ways.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
If you say mental health to one person and another person, that could be really opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree. Do you think, Tina, and in talking about this, I mean, over the years, especially just like student ministry is some of my background, a lot of what I would see in students, their specific mental health struggles, a lot of times revolved around anxiety or depression. Even if it's not those two things, while I see that a lot in people's lives, in the church world, sometimes it's really hard to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious from your perspective, even though it's talked about a lot more in culture, why do you think it's still a struggle to be a conversation in church.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you first like mentioned the topic with mental illness and mental health, it like my brain instantly went to, oh, like how did we come about that term? Mm. Right. Like mental illness.
Right.
And so just kind of knowing the history of that, in the 1800s is when the whole kind of birth of psychology and psychiatry mm-hmm. and psychoanalysis all came about. Right. And they used it to describe, and it was great because people were being curious. They were seeing people with struggles
yeah.
and they were doing research and digging into the why of that. What's yeah. behind that and why are people struggling and how can we help them?
Hmm.
So the intention to help was really good. Yeah. And then in, if you go fast forward kind of the 1952 Diagnostic and Statistics Manual came mm-hmm. out, the first iteration of that. And we're now up to number 5, DSM-5. Mm. And that basically is a tool that is used to classify and diagnose mental health conditions.
Yeah.
The goal was to standardize diagnoses and care.
Right.
And so it doesn't give prescriptions for care, but it standardizes how we see what we're looking at, mm-hmm. right? It's basically making observations about people's behavior and where they see patterns and clusters. Now we're going to call it anxiety disorders,
yeah.
or we're going to call it bipolar, or we're right. going to call it schizophrenia. And so it's a diagnosis and from the world's perspective, right? Right? And so what yeah. happened when all of that was happening, hmm. what they were seeing and what they were observing, because it was void of God, what that all used to be just considered soul troubles, mm-hmm. right? Like distresses and dis-ease of the soul.
Right.
And was handled by the church.
Yeah.
But now it has become this scientific and medical thing right. localized in the brain. And so now we're handling it from a medical perspective, which completely polarized
yeah.
faith mm. with the issues.
Yeah.
And so it separated those two things out. And so I think that's where we kind of now, not realizing that,
yeah.
we see it as a medical thing.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, my faith should be big enough to handle and conquer this medical thing. Like,
right.
but we wouldn't think about that necessarily if we had diabetes, right?
Right.
Like we would go to a doctor yeah. for diabetes and get treated.
Yep.
So seeking treatment, understanding that all of, yeah, like who we are is both body and soul. And yeah. both are legitimate.
Yeah.
And it was through God's common grace that these people like just came out with all of this and mm-hmm. organized that. And it's helpful. It's
yeah.
helpful information. It's not wrong. It's yeah. just not complete.
Mm. Yeah, I think some of the dynamic around that as well is in a faith community, my observation is it's not uncommon if someone is struggling in that type of area
yeah.
that there's a huge stigma of failure around that.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
you know, if we don't, no one wants to feel like a failure. And
yeah.
so instead of just being open and honest right. and saying, hey, this is a struggle, how mm-hmm. can I get some help? It's
yeah.
like, ooh, this is a failure. I better protect myself so that I'm not seen or I
yes.
don't live out as a failure. And,
yeah.
you know, that's one of the things, if you're listening and you mm. are struggling, like it's not a failure. It's just simply, it's a part of one of the struggles of life, living in a fallen world, and we're imperfect people. And so, you know, get past that because we all need help sometimes
yeah.
for different things. You know,
yeah.
Tina, you mentioned like a diabetic, like, mm-hmm. you know, if I fall mm-hmm. and you know, cut my knee open, I'm going to go get stitches. I'm
That's
not
right.
going to mm-hmm. go, oh, I'm just a terrible person because I cut my knee open.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to encourage folks
yeah.
to, you know, recognize that mm-hmm. we all need help sometimes in various ways and not to,
yeah.
You know, buy into that stigma of, well, if I'm struggling, I'm a failure, and therefore
yeah.
I need to hide that from everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
I really appreciate you saying that, Steve, because I mean, like so many of us, I mean, I can just be vulnerable for a second. Like, this is a topic that's really close to my heart. I mean, I have a lot of people that I'm close to that this has been a specific struggle for, even myself. I hate talking about COVID times because there's so much things that go around in people's minds when we bring it up. But for me, just like I'm sure so many people listening and maybe even you guys as well, that was a really, really challenging time for me emotionally and mentally, dealing with things that I was never trained to deal with in ministry. Mm-hmm. And I, for the first time in my life, experienced true anxiety and depression for sure. Yeah. And I can remember walking through that and feeling an incredible amount of guilt and shame around feeling that way, of going like, I shouldn't be feeling these things. I don't want to be feeling these things. I don't know how to control this. And I can remember a conversation I had with Kirsten was like, I think I need to go to my doctor and talk to him about this, because I don't, like, I've tried everything. Like, I've talked to God about this every day. I'm seeking wise counsel, and this just, this feeling is not going away. And eventually needing to be on some antidepressants for a season. And so I share that. And I remember Kirsten and I, we really wrestled through that. Like, even Kirsten shared, like, feeling like, it is this wrong for you to go on these or have, you know, to be, to be treating it medically. Shouldn't this just be something that God can kind of get you through? And I had to kind of wrestle through that and realize that maybe it can be both, just like you described. But could you speak to that for a second? Why do shame and guilt often accompany those mental health struggles? And maybe, like, what does the gospel speak to that? Like, what can you speak to that for a second?
Absolutely. So, like, the saying that I kind of, like, have in my head is, with the DSM and the diagnosing of things, it's a tool. It's not meant to be a title. And so our identity is really powerful. Who we believe we are is really powerful. And so if we take on a diagnosis as our identity,
it's huge.
That's huge. And as followers of Christ, if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are following Him, we're walking with Him, we are in Christ. And there are so many benefits of being in Christ, right? In our fallen nature, the Word tells us, like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So we're all fallen, we're all broken, we all suffer, we all sin. And so God knows that. There's a shame that comes when we sin. And so, like, that Christ has handled that shame. If you think of Hebrews 12,
so good.
Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and came to sit at the right hand of the Father. He pushed through that shame, and He conquered the shame, and He lived in victory, and He paved that way for us to follow in. And so now our inheritance is His glory. And so there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We live as free children of God. That's our identity. Do we still struggle? Absolutely. Do we still suffer and have sorrows? Absolutely. And so Scripture is so clear in so many places about how we are to then respond to that. Hebrews 12, like I mentioned, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 Corinthians 4, and 1 Peter 1, they all talk about the hope that we have. And this past week was, we're in Advent right now as we're taping this. And this week currently is peace. The word is peace. And so when you dig into that, it's perfect peace. Shalom, shalom is making things whole, right? And so that's what we long for. We long for our fracturedness to be made whole. But here's the thing. Week one of Advent was hope. And so 1 Peter 1, 3 talks about we're born into a new and living hope. And so it is a living hope that we have, that we look forward to. And Peter says, like, for now, you're going to have trials. You're going to struggle. But we, like Hebrews 12, fix our eyes on Jesus. We look forward to our hope, our anticipation is for something that we don't have yet, but we will have it. And so we know that one day, like, these struggles will be over and we will be made whole.
That's That's the good news.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, in the waiting, the anticipation of that,
yeah.
you know, we still deal with the struggle, right? That's mm-hmm. part of the journey. One of the things that you guys just mentioned, which I think is important to highlight, is, you know, that we are spiritual beings, we're emotional beings, we're intellectual beings,
yeah.
We're social beings, and one of the things I think we have to recognize is there is a school of thought out there that every problem, every issue in life, even mm-hmm. like cancer, diseases, whatever, mm-hmm. they're all just a spiritual thing, and right. you just need to pray them away.
Yeah.
And that's just not consistent with Scripture. You look at the life of Jesus, Luke 2:52 says he grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God, favor with man.
Yep.
There was a physical growth aspect to Jesus's life.
Right.
There was a social growth aspect. And, you know, we read that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. Like there's, yeah. that's not just pray it away. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not to diminish the efficacy of prayer at all. Right. Like that's part of it. Tina, you said something about it's part, but it's not complete. I'm not exactly sure exactly how you said it, but you know, you just said that a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
And responding to struggles that we face, we have to look at a complete picture.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think, you know, Alex, you're right. You shared your story a little bit that you struggle, like, is it even right for me to go down this road of
right.
of, hey, there's something medically that could help me in this. You know, mm-hmm. am I somehow a deficient person because I have to rely on medicine?
Yeah.
But listen, God made us physical beings. That's yeah. part of who we are. And
yeah.
we have to consider all of the implications yes. when we struggle.
Yep.
There's an emotional side of it. There's an intellectual side of it. There's a spiritual side mm-hmm. of it. And there is a physical side of it. And
yeah.
so if you're listening and you've been struggling, like, oh, I don't, that's not something I want to talk to my doctor about. I just, mm-hmm. I should just pray it away. Like mm-hmm. you are created a more faceted person than just that.
Yeah.
And so, allow God to use all those areas of the person that you are mm-hmm. to help, to provide health in a more complete way.
Amen.
Yeah. And I just think what you guys both shared, coupled together, there's so much freedom in when we recognize that we don't have to approach this topic with shame or guilt, like you've done something wrong and now
exactly.
you're struggling with this. I think also I just really appreciate what you said, Tina, like, but it's also not our identity, because mm-hmm. I think what sometimes can get us stuck, not just in struggles in mental health, but all aspects of life, is yeah. when we hinge on something that is a struggle or a thing in our life that, well, that's who I am. If we can approach this specific struggle, especially with the frame of I'm a son or daughter of the King
yeah.
who has loved me, who has ransomed my life, who I am free in him, who just happens to struggle with a Absolutely. Specific issue.
Yeah.
I think that sets us up to have a path of, like you're talking about, shalom, shalom,
yeah.
experiencing perfect peace, even in the midst of struggles.
Yes. Yep.
I am curious. So as we are approaching this, just speak to that person who's going, I believe that, and I'm in the midst of struggling with this specific issue, whether it's, you know, depression, anxiety, maybe some other mental health struggle. How do we, as Christians, faithfully integrate both what you guys are talking about, prayer, walking with God, staying in step with Him, but also integrating, maybe it's pastoral care, maybe it is talking with your doctor. How do we blend those two things together? Like what you guys are talking about, the spiritual that God has provided and He has made a way for us, but also other provisions as well, like pastoral care, mm-hmm. people that can offer support. How does somebody practically bridge those gaps? Does that make sense? If somebody is struggling with this, what's a practical way that they can, what's a step mm-hmm. that they could take?
I think, you know, in a very simplistic way, whatever your resources are, have a conversation in each of those areas.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. in your spiritual life, who are your spiritual caregivers, so to speak?
Yeah.
Have a conversation. Just say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or, you know, I've been praying about this, whatever it is. Address the spiritual facet of it.
Yeah.
And then who are your medical caregivers? Mm-hmm. Be willing to have a conversation. Hey, this is what's going on. Is there anything mm-hmm. medically that would help right. maybe address this? Mm-hmm. And I think we can kind of safely say or confidently say maybe that more often than not, you're going to find that that a combination of things right. will be the true thing that gives you resolve. It's not going to be just one thing.
Mm-hmm. No magic bullet.
Yeah, because we are created in God's image, which means we're emotional, we're intellectual, we have a physical body, there's a spiritual aspect to us. So I think be willing to have conversations with the key people in your life in those key areas. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just a starting point. So, okay, if I think about this from a physical standpoint, talk to my doctor. Mm-hmm. I think about this from an emotional or relational standpoint. You know, who's my best friend? Who's mm-hmm. my spouse? Who's that go-to person for me? And from a spiritual standpoint, who are my, you know, pastoral care, spiritual mentors? Who are the people I look up to and look to for wisdom in these areas? Mm-hmm. Just be willing to have an initial conversation, I think, is at least a starting point.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought is don't struggle alone. Like, don't suffer in silence and struggle alone. Yeah. I think reach out.
Yeah.
Get a community.
Yeah.
Walk in community. Because one of the things as I was looking into the DSM a little bit more was the feeling of like, okay, that's going to diagnose you. And that kind of puts this label on you.
Yeah.
And now it's like this despair of oh, here you go. Here's your problem. There you go. And I'm your doctor. And that's all. And that's kind of the end of it. And just how that leaves us feeling alone and isolated and hopeless, right? Yeah. And so when we know who we are in Christ, grow in that and relationship recovery repair, you know, like we repair, we grow, we heal in the context of relationship, because that's where much of our brokenness comes from, is from past relationships.
Yep.
Right. And so to begin to learn how to develop healthy relationships and to grow in that way, along with the medical and along with those other things.
That's so key, Tina, because I think in context of relationship too, you find that you are not the only one that struggles.
Yes, exactly.
There's so many, maybe not your exact specific situation, but is feeling some of those same feelings. And there's a lot of freedom, I think, in knowing that you're not alone.
Yeah.
That's kind of the perfect segue into my other question I had for you.
Sure.
Especially in our context, we all are vocational ministers, so we work at a church.
Right.
But I just think as we're desiring, as followers of Christ, as the church, not just the building, but the people of God, if our role is to partner with God in bringing healing and restoration and reminding them that there is one who gives perfect peace and hope in the midst of these situations, how can we as the church become a safer place for honesty rather than judgment or quick fixes? Because I know I've heard from folks in the past where it's like they feel like they can't bring up certain struggles because of past experiences. Like, I've been hurt before. I've felt judgment instead of safety. Mm-hmm. Or just like, here's a book, go read that. And I don't want to talk to you anymore kind of feeling. How can we be people that offer safety and refuge, honesty, not judgment? What are some steps that we can take?
I think my first thought is that when we acknowledge our own struggle, we are walking with the Lord through it, and we are finding that peace in the midst of and that victory and identity, then we become people who are empathetic to and have and can hold space for other people's struggles. But if we don't deal with our own and we don't even like have an awareness of our situation, our own self, then we don't have that capacity for others then either.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. Steve.
So number one step would be like, what's yours?
Yeah.
What's your struggle?
I almost wonder if it's almost the conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees. It's have we removed the log out of our eye to help those that have maybe a different context, but I think
in a positive way.
It's in a positive way. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think to have empathy for somebody is to understand, like, I need the grace of God in my life. I've received it. I'm walking in that.
Exactly.
We see people the way God sees them. I think that's huge. Yeah. That's so important. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it reminds us that God is the God of all comfort. So God's there for us in the midst of our struggle. I think that's, you know, that's certainly a paramount point to make, that don't think that you will really overcome the struggles that you may be facing apart from God. God is the God of all comfort.
Yeah.
But he goes on to say that he comforts us so that we can comfort those that are also in trouble with the same comfort we've received. And so the idea of being honest about where we're at and our own struggles, we receive from God, but we receive from God not in a selfish way, but in a way that's like, oh, well, let me share with you how I've been helped. Mm-hmm. And so there's a camaraderie, you know, there's an old saying, misery loves company. Mm-hmm. But I think if we take that idea and just flip it on its head, like, there is a great amount of momentum that can happen for a person. Not misery loves company, but comfort can the comforted can provide comfort.
Amen. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, let's not lose sight of that. And as you have both said, that happens in the context of relationship and community. So, you know, being willing to be open and vulnerable, and also from a, I need help, but also from a, hey, I've received help and let me share that with you. I think both are so important and, helps break down some of that wall of shame, embarrassment, secrecy.
Yeah.
You know, I've said for a long time, anytime we think about keeping things in secret, that's not God's way. That's not his character.
Yeah.
So it's probably not his leading. Mm. You know, if you think I need to suffer in secrecy, that's not God's heart. That's not his desire that we suffer in secret.
I do think, just real quickly, the reason sometimes we avoid facing those hard things in our life are because we feel like if we start facing them, we don't know the way out. Like, if I enter in, I don't know the way out.
Right.
And so if we have people walking around sharing their testimony of, this is what, how the Lord delivered me or healed me or showed me, then we're like, oh, let me walk with you for a minute because you know the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just got a real vivid mental picture when you said that of corn mazes. I don't know why, but like some people would freak out thinking of going in there and being lost and no one will ever find me. But if you have someone that says, oh, I love this corn maze. It can be a lot of fun. Not that we think going through difficulties is fun, but the challenge in front of you, like, hey, I can help you get through this. It doesn't have to be a paralyzing freaking out, I'm going to go nowhere near it type of thing.
Yeah.
And so
there is hope, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I feel like we could talk about this for a lot more. But I'm just thinking as we wrap up our time, Tina, is there, I know this isn't a catch-all thing, but are there resources that you have found helpful for that person that's going, I want to take the next step in faithfully following God, but also maybe taking a next step in getting help? Is there a direction that you'd point them in, or just an encouragement to leave someone today who's wrestling with this personally as we wrap up our time today?
I think it would depend on just their specific struggle. Like, there are tons of resources, great biblical resources out there that are so helpful. I think email me and I can like give you a very specific resource maybe, but I think just take the first step.
So if you are struggling, you've got some questions, you're not sure where to turn, reach out to us. We'd be happy to help provide or point in a direction, come alongside as best we can. It's real easy. It's podcast@victorchurch.org. Let us know if there is a struggle. That's a confidential communication. We just want to help. So feel free to reach out to us, podcast@victorchurch.org. And then, Tina, anything else?
No, that's great.
Awesome.
I appreciate that. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
good stuff.
Those of you that joined us today, we're so glad that you're here. We hope that today was encouraging to you, that you feel emboldened to take a next step, or maybe be the one, as Tina was saying, to be the guiding person to walk with someone who is navigating through a challenging time. Wherever you're at, know that you're loved and that God sees you and He has great plans for you. We'll catch you on the next one.
Take care.
Bye-bye.